Thank you and good morning. How good is it just hearing just how God uses simple acts of generosity to bless other people, to bless us and to bless him. It's just the things of the kingdom are always win, win, win. And just continuing on our focus this term of becoming more others-centered and in line with our vision. And for anyone who might be new here, I'll get people to just call out that beautiful focus on others, going out of our way to what?
Boldly demonstrate God's goodness.
Going out of our way to what?
Boldly demonstrate God's goodness.
When?
Every day.
When?
Every day.
Where?
Wherever we are.
Going out of our way to boldly demonstrate God's goodness every day, wherever we are. And we're going to continue on that theme. Chris chose some passages for us to look at today from John 20 and Acts chapter 1. If I get Tina to come up and read those verses to us. And they're two really significant passages of Scripture. The first one in John 20 is recording the moment Jesus first appeared to his disciples after he was resurrected. So he's walked into the room, or walked through the wall, presented himself to the disciples. So you could imagine they'd be pretty interested in what he had to say at that moment.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven."
Pretty significant words. The other passage from Acts chapter 1 is when Jesus was about to return to his Father in heaven. So his last recorded words to his disciples before he left earth and went up into the clouds in front of them. So again, pretty significant words.
This is Acts chapter 1:3-9. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight.
So again, just such significant words that Jesus left us with. And the things that I want to point out and remind us today is the command for all of us to be willing to go where Jesus wants us to go. And the other thing I want to point out and finish with today is how he wants us to go about doing that. What's a significant thing around how we do that. And that passage in Acts 1 that Tina just read, Jesus pointed out who he wants us to show God's goodness to, who he wants us to share the good news of the kingdom to. As he says in verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And so firstly, this is you. Tried to do as accurate a picture as I could. And the places that God wants us to go to share his good news of his kingdom is to Jerusalem, to Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And in our setting here, sitting in Madawi, the ends of the earth are really the places outside of our culture. Countries and cultures outside of Australia, outside of the West. Judea and Samaria represent our nation and our Western culture. So those areas around Australia. And that's a pretty big excitement for us to do that. Given that God wants us to have a heart for the people at all the ends of the earth, when there's 7.75 billion people on the planet. And then even God wants us to have a heart to see everybody in Australia to come to know him, to hear his good news. And there's 25.7 million people in Australia. And I just want to share a few stories today about my first experience of going to the ends of the earth for God. And it was after a conference when a bloke by the name of Floyd McClung, who started up an organization called Youth with a Mission, YWAM, and he was talking at a conference and talking about how they reached the ends of the earth strategically through the Olympic Games. And so the Olympics is obviously a place where all the people from across the globe come together, and YWAM used that as a strategic opportunity of sharing God's good news. And I wasn't intending on going to that, but I had a friend staying with me who was interested, and he didn't have a car, so I drove him to the YWAM base. And as Jehovah Sneaky does, this guy doesn't end up going and I do. And so I find myself on the other side of the globe. And it was such a bittersweet experience. It was so sweet to have about 4,000 to 5,000 people, Christians, passionate Christians from across the globe, all living together on the one school campus. And you can imagine the worship services, where you've got people from right across the nation all worshiping together. And the impact of YWAM was to go out and do sports ministry, dramas. They had some really good booklets presenting the gospel in kind of the Olympic language. And so hearing the testimonies of how God impacted people through these outreaches. The bitter part was I hated it while I was there. I dread going out to the streets where I was evangelizing, where I had to share the gospel. And so our team from Adelaide, there's six of us, and we'd go out and we'd either be handing out these booklets or just going out to an allocated park and just starting up a soccer game, just trying to make conversation. And the whole time I was there, I was just counting down the minutes as to when we would leave. And it was just, because I was just under the microscope of, I'm supposed to be evangelizing. And I was just paralyzed with fear. And probably the only two really fruitful times, I felt so sorry for our leaders because they were hearing all these testimonies of God doing incredible things in the other outreaches. And it was on my birthday, and I just prayed, said, God, just as a birthday present, I just pray that we would see someone respond to the gospel in some way. And we went out to another park and kicking around, and I was again just trying to play as much sport and avoid conversations with people. And then we did, nothing significant happened there. And it was time, okay, we need to go. So we're walking back to the train to go back to the base. And we're walking along. It was a couple of, 2 or 3 kilometres away. And this kid's walking behind us, about 200 metres behind us. And it's like, keeps following us. We kept walking. And he keeps following us. And then me and one other person went back and said, what's this kid doing? And we're trying to get across him. This kid's crying. And it's like, what is it? What is it? And so called the interpreter. She came over and said, and he was really upset. And someone said, maybe he wants to receive Jesus. And she asked me, and he's like, yes, yes. It's like the poor kid had to track us down to get saved. The other significant event was a guy who took this photo, and I'd gone off to get some tickets to go and watch the Australian basketball team on my day off, and I was walking back and I had to meet the others in the team in a park, and there was this open park and nobody around. And back before mobile phones, I didn't have a watch, and I wasn't sure whether how much time I had to kill. And so I was walking along and I saw this guy out the corner of my eye, and I went to turn to him to ask him what the time was, and he had a knife. And so he had a knife and he's there, denarii, denarii. And I'm there, ah, no denarii. Fortunately, I didn't have a cent on me. I only had traveler's checks at that very moment. I was like, no, denarii, amigo. And anyway, I said, honestly, no denarii. And I got my backpack out and I showed him my passport and I showed him I didn't have any money. And then I got into conversation with him and find out, you know, what he was doing, why he was doing what he was doing. And he was kind of bored and unemployed and did it for a few bucks, and ended up sharing my lunch with him and gave him one of those booklets about the gospel. And this guy's name was Jesus, spelt J-E-S-U-S. And I said, I have a friend, Jesus, and he's talked about in this booklet here. And ended up, anyway, I have this photo. For some reason or other, he wouldn't let me take his photo, but he took mine. And just again, the only fruitful times that I saw were kind of by mistake. But God does have, and I want to talk about some other stories afterwards, but God does have a heart, wants us to have a heart for the whole world and for our whole nation and our whole state. And, you know, what is God's heart? Why is God so interested? I know he created everybody, but that question for me is really answered in the final book of the Bible, the book of Revelations. And the book of Revelations is a glimpse into the future of God's kingdom and the transition of our experience on earth to our experience of us all being together, living in the very presence of God. So can I just invite you to close your eyes just as I read this? So this is John's description of what is going to happen. If you could close your eyes. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hand, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and round the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength to be our God, be to our God forever and ever. Amen." So God invites us to have a heart for every person across the whole world and all of Australia, because whether we do or whether we don't do anything about that, the reality is that there's going to be a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, every tribe, every people group, every language, and they're all going to be standing before the throne of Jesus, worshiping him, along with all of us who choose to allow Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. So what part can we play? If I could just invite you just for a 30, 60 seconds, just for a person or two around you, just to discuss what part can we play in that, in helping the good news of God's kingdom be reached across the globe, across our nation. What part can we play? What can we do to help fulfill Jesus' desire for his goodness to be shown right across the globe? Can you just talk about that just for a minute? Okay, thanks for sharing. Just wondering if I could hear a couple of responses. What can we do? What's our part? What would God encourage us to do in our part in sharing that? Anybody? Just yell out from where you are. Acceptance. Praying is the first thing that we should do. What else can we do? Be willing to share what we have and be thankful. Be available. Yep.
I was going to say, seize opportunities.
Yep, whatever God, opportunities God gives us. Yep. Listen to God. Understand that it's not our job to convert people. Yep.
That's Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Yep.
Being who we are.
Yeah. And I guess supporting those ministries that are effectively sharing the gospel around the country, around the globe. Just want to pause. If I could invite Sue to come up. Sue, if you could come, and if I could invite us just to pause and to actually do that, what April suggested, just pray. We can't be everywhere around the globe, but our prayers can have an effect everywhere around the globe. So if I can invite you to stand, I'll invite Sue to pray with us.
Thank you. Holy Spirit, I just pray that we will just breathe you in. Come, Holy Spirit, minister to our soul. We wait for you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will guide each one of us as you use us as your vessels. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have placed in us a heart for those who are lost, who are searching, and have just the things of this world to rely upon. Father, use us, each one, wherever you have placed us, whenever it is, wherever it is. Lord, we come to you as the potters, the clay, to be melted and moulded and to be used by you in all your glory. Father, we pray for our environment, for the things around us, our homes, our families, our council and the elections. We pray for this nation. Father God, we pray for the nations, Lord, as you raise us up in the mighty name of Jesus. And we say, Lord, have your way. Have your way over this world, Lord. Have your way over wherever you have placed us. That you will use us to feed into your kingdom, Lord. Support the ministries that reach out. Father, challenge us. Take us beyond our comfort zone. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray the peace of God at this time throughout this world. We pray the blood of Jesus Christ that covers, that protects, that cleanses lives and brings them to a newness of Jesus Christ. Father, we come humbly before you on bowed knee.
Yeah.
And we say, Lord, raise up the workers.
Yeah.
Raise up the people that go forth in the name of Jesus Christ. Use your churches, Lord, to stand for you. And Lord, that the harvest field is ripe. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit, for your grace and your mercy.
Yeah.
Use us, O Lord. May we be open to what you have for each one of us.
Yeah.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful.
Thanks, Sue. That's beautiful. Have a seat. That is so good. And it's just so great to be praying for people in ministry across the globe, across Australia, because our prayers do make a difference. But I guess if I've got to be honest, and I don't know if you're like me, but it's a little intimidating and overwhelming to have a heart and a focus on 8 billion people. It's a lot of people. It's a lot of names. It makes for a very long prayer meeting to cover everyone. But the thing that we can do is our Jerusalem, which is our local area. We can connect with the people that God physically places in front of us, the Jerusalem, our own neighborhood. And the fact is that God only wants us to ever focus on the one. God only ever works on one heart at a time. He might do it simultaneously for a million people at a gathering of Billy Graham or Reinhard Bonnke or something, but it's ones, every single one of those thousand, hundred people, thousands of people, however it might be, it's one soul, it's one heart at a time. And he wants our focus to be on one heart, one soul at a time. And Jesus pointed this out in Luke 15 three times, and he was talking to the Pharisees, and he told them the parable. Suppose that one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours and says, "Rejoice me, I've found my one lost sheep." I tell you, in the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. God's interested in the one. And he goes on in that same chapter, he talks about the one, finding the one lost coin and then the one lost son. And going back to that, just another couple of stories. After the Olympic event, we had some time traveling around Europe. And we turned up in Marseille or somewhere to begin with, and they're there. We're going to go out and we want to do some evangelizing. I'm there, you know, going to lockdown mode again. And I said, and I had this bargain with God. I said, "Okay, God, I'll talk to somebody if you show me a picture of the person you want to talk to." So I kind of bribed God into that I'd only do it. This is before I kind of knew much about the prophetic, but I said, "Okay, God, you show me the person you want before I see them, and then I'll talk to them." And so just in my mind's eye, I'm just kind of doing this identikit photo of a person, what they look like, what they were wearing, and said, "Okay, I'm just going to cruise around until that person appears in front of me. This is going to be a good day." And so we went out to this square as a busy in the city, and they're going around talking to people. I'm just like, this guy turns up. It was like about from here to the pizza oven away, exactly what I had sketched in my own mind, the same outfit, the same facial. And I'm just like, and he's walking straight towards me. And I'm like, "Holy moly." And he's walked straight up to me. And I'm like, "What do I do? What do I do?" And he walked right up to me and he walked straight past me. And he kept walking. And I was just mouth open. And then he crossed the road and he walked away. And I was just petrified to do anything about it. And then we went to the next town and we did this, had the same thing. And they said, "We want to go out and spend another time." And so I said, "Okay, God, give me another shot. Please give me another shot. If it works this time, I promise you I'll talk to the person." And so I said, "Okay, God, give me a picture of somebody." And I just couldn't get a picture of anybody. I couldn't even imagine a face of somebody. All I could see was a mirror of myself. And I was like, "Ah, this isn't, anyway, I've used up that trick once and that's it." Anyways, we go back to our youth hostel that we're staying at, and I was just jumped in the, on my bunk, and opposite me was this young German guy, and I'm talking to him, and anyway, he just asked what we're doing, just talking about the Olympics, and we're talking about the activities that we're doing and the outreach, and I just got into this guide conversation with this guy without even trying. And I'm halfway through this conversation, I look at him, and he's like, he could have been my brother. He was like the same age, the same looks, and I've gone, the mirror. And so I took the opportunity then of just like explaining what we were doing and why Jesus is so significant. And I remember we had to leave it at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I put one of those brochures from the Olympics and tucked it above his bed where he's lying, so it would be the first thing he saw when he woke up. And then the other, on the way home, flying on the way home, and I'm sitting on our plane, and I've got these two older ladies either side of me, and just got into conversation with them both. And I get into this conversation about God. I'm getting into the conversation about Jesus and how you come to know Jesus. And I'm going, I'm not supposed to be evangelizing. Yet it's happening. And it was just such a key lesson for me that we have to be authentic. We have to be ourselves. There's no way that God's going to use us any more powerfully than just being comfortable in who we are and in our own conversations. It's just the ones. It's just the ones that God puts across our path, the ones that God wants to use us to experience His goodness. And we need to trust and obey in whatever God wants us to do for whichever one else. And it can be so simple. Our last two encouragements is the thing that we need to do is so simple. And I've shared this encouragement before, again, from that Olympics occasion when we got together and had a big kind of worship celebration. The one testimony I remember, and forgive me if you've heard it before, but it's worth repeating, was a lady who got up and said she was on a train heading back to the school. And it was packed, as you can imagine, with the Olympics. And she just felt God say, walk down the front and tell that person that Jesus loves them. And she's like, really? What's the point of that? And so she's sitting there going, you have to climb your way through the crowd to get to them. God just kept impressing her, go and tell her that Jesus loves her. And eventually she said, okay. So she got up, kind of worked her way through down the train, went up to a lady and said, excuse me, I just need to tell you, Jesus loves you. And the lady turned to her and said, do you know you're the third person to tell me that today? And that just speaks to me about which of the three people that told her are we? You know, we don't know what God's lining up in the lives of the ones that He places around us, the ones that He wants to use us, whether the first person, they kind of might have, she might have looked at them and gone, you're a crazy. The second person might have been, that's unusual. The third person is so powerful. So just that encouragement, it's the simple things done in an act of obedience in God's timing that can have a disproportional effect on the lives of the ones that God puts in front of us. And the final thing, thanks for listening, and I hope I don't get sunburnt. And Sue alluded to this. In those two passages that Tina read early on, Jesus says something three times, not just once, He says it three times in those two passages. He says, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And with that, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then the second passage, He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. But John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. We need to be recipients and carriers and be led by the Spirit of Jesus. He is arguably the greatest gift that Jesus offers all of us to live with, to live from, to find freedom in. And we just want to give us an opportunity of experiencing Holy Spirit again this morning. That's how we want to finish off this morning. And for those, some of you may be very familiar with that and you know who Holy Spirit is, you've experienced it many times. For other people, it might be a rare thing, or for some people, it may not have been an experience of yours yet. And it isn't something that God says that we do once. In Ephesians 5, Paul encouraged us to be filled continually with the Holy Spirit. Be continually filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I know in my own experience, I was very skeptical about what this Holy Spirit was, and I'd heard people talking about it, but I'd never experienced it up until the age of 21. But you don't experience something until you do experience something. Then when you've experienced it, you've experienced it. And so I want to give everyone an opportunity of that today. If I could invite you to stand, if you're able, and if I could invite Sam, if you could come and pray with us, for us. Jesus says in John 14, if you really love me, you will keep and obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, a comforter, an advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth.
Little did Susie know when she entered those bubble blowers out there and the kids began blowing those bubbles, and you actually can't see the wind until there's a bubble around it to see where it's going. And in the beginning of the Gospel of John, when Jesus shared with Nicodemus, he had to give him the basics. And for some of us here today, it might be just the basics about how the Holy Spirit operates and how you don't know where he's going to want to take you. You don't know where the wind's going to blow. You can see it, how it moves the trees, but you can't know where it's going or where it's come from. And it's the same with our lives. And just as Brad has shown us from the scriptures today and Tina read, the Holy Spirit wants to take us one person at a time. Who is that person for you this week? Who is that person or people in your group that we will get together and share carols with this month? Who is that person you yet to give the care pack to that you're going to touch with the Holy Spirit, and these beautiful testimonies that we've been encouraged with today about how if we just listen to him, listen to his voice and just be obedient, as Brad just said, that's all Jesus is saying. It's so simple but so powerful. And today I want to invite you afresh. If it's the first time, just hold out your hands. And we're just going to pray. If it's a refreshing, just hold out your hands and receive the empowerment of what he wants to do for you today and into the future and the people in your world, in your Jerusalem, this weekend and before Christmas and beyond. Lord, we pray right now as we hold out our hands and just surrender to you, and you breathe on us afresh. Holy Spirit, you just impart to us. And just as we hear the wind, and it's even blowing in this microphone, it's blowing over you now. Receive afresh the wind of the Spirit to fill you, to minister to you, to speak through you, and to minister to your Jerusalem and beyond. Thank you, Jesus. We receive from you right now.
Spirit.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for sending us your advocate to be with us forever and ever, and to never leave us nor forsake us, and to remind us of all the things that you taught us through your Son, Jesus, as we go into the world.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Beautiful. Thank you, Sam. I can invite Joe to come up and do one final activity. Just want to encourage you, when it comes to Holy Spirit just hovers over. I don't know if anyone saw the eagle or the hawk that was hovering over us this morning. I haven't seen one of those around here before. And my The encouragement, the way the Holy Spirit speaks to us and leads us to the ones, is he uses our language, he uses our thoughts, he uses our phrases. He doesn't often write in the clouds in the sky or have a deep booming voice. I just bless you with that experience of being led by Holy Spirit to reach the ones that God puts in front of you.